Thank you, Willie, for the worship music this morning. For quite some time now, we have been going through a sermon series from the Beatitudes or Blessings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. We've been calling this series, What God Loves. What God Loves. So far, we have dealt with messages called God Loves and Blesses the Poor in Spirit. He also loves and blesses those who mourn. And that means mourning in spirit. He also loves and blesses the meek, the humble, and those who walk in humility. So what we're going to do this morning is to pick up from where we left off the week before Compassion Sunday, where we talked about the fact that God loves and blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So today we explore yet another beatitude in a message that I'm calling God Loves and Blesses the Merciful. God loves and blesses the merciful, those who are merciful, from Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bible this morning, could you quickly come with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 5? The Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 5. We are going to read only one verse again. This time we are in verse 7. If you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. The New International Version says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The Amplified says, blessed. That means those who are content, sheltered by God's promises, and those who are highly favored by God are those who are merciful. Those who show mercy, for they will receive or obtain mercy themselves from God. In other words, you reap what you sow. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we set this time apart to delve into your word. Please unlock the scriptures, cast light on our text, and open our spiritual understanding so that we may receive revelation from your word. May we be attentive to the gentle voice of the Spirit as it speaks to our hearts. May we be doers and not hearers only. Because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In order to appreciate our big idea this morning, we need to answer the question, what is mercy? And what does it mean to be merciful? The word mercy in scripture means showing compassion, as in meeting the needs of others. In other words, combining the theory and practice of being generous and forgiving, showing kindness, forbearance, which means self-control, restraint and patience with people, especially to an offender or those who deserve to suffer the consequences of their actions, just like the young man in the following story. So let me illustrate mercy for you. A mother once approached the first Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman said, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy on him." And he spared the woman's son. Now that we understand what mercy or being merciful is and looks like, we need to realize as believers that we are called by God to show mercy, compassion, and kindness to the undeserving or to those who are vulnerable. That includes your brother and sister in the Lord. Showing compassion means sympathetic consciousness of other people's sufferings, pain, sorrow, anguish, and agonies, with a desire to alleviate their suffering. On the other hand, not to be compassionate is to be unkind, to be mean, cold-hearted, hard-hearted, or to be heartless. And you don't want to be like that as a Christian. You want to be loving, caring, and compassionate. Remember, that's part of our vision, to be a loving and caring community of devoted followers of Jesus, boldly reaching out and serving others with the love of God, or serving others in love. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved," and here it comes, "compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, gentleness, and patience." Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 to 10, in the Old Testament, says, "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, who is like a visitor, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your hearts." Remember, from your heart comes the issues of life. So guard your heart. One of the best illustrations of compassion in Scripture is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan. On his journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Samaritan stops when he sees on the side of the road a poor man who has been beaten and robbed by thieves. A priest and a Levite also see the victim, but they pass by on the other side. The Samaritan, on the other hand, is merciful. He feels compassion towards the victim, goes across the road, dresses the wounds, takes the man with him, and makes provision for him. You find that in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, the lesson is that those who are merciful to others should not only feel compassion, but they should also do something to help others, especially those who may be in need. And since I just want to remind you that needy people are everywhere, there's never a good reason to refuse to help others when it is in your power to do so. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, we find a great encouragement to show compassion to others. To show compassion to others who may be in need and unprivileged. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Just a simile. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed garments, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Since God wants our lives to overflow with mercy, love, and compassion toward others, because these are marks of the kingdom, we cannot claim to love God, whom we can see, and hate our neighbor, whom we can see. As followers of Jesus, we have a choice to respond to the brokenness in this world with empathy, indifference, and withdrawal, or we have a choice to emulate Jesus by responding in love, hope, and compassion. The choice is yours. While our salvation doesn't depend on works, we know that caring for those in need is evidence of our faith. And we know that that changes lives. Because people don't care about your God until they know you care about them. For without faith, saints, our works are going to be called into question. But if we try to think that, we can actually earn salvation by our works, then our works will not do us anything. But our faith should compel us to do more works. As James says, otherwise it will be dead faith. Which brings us to our second point. We are called to show mercy by forgiving those who trespass against us. We are called to show mercy by forgiving those who trespass against us. You see, beloved, to be merciful also means to be forgiven to those who don't deserve to be forgiven, especially among family and the community of faith, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 again says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And here it comes. "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." In Scripture, we are called not only to love our friends, but to love, forgive, and show compassion to our enemies, those who cause us harm. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 28, the Bible says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Consider the example of Jesus on the cross, who never sinned, never harmed anyone. Yet he suffered the terrible agony of the cross. What does Jesus say as he looked down upon the people responsible for his suffering? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Stephen, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 59 to be specific, after being stoned for his faith, prayed and said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not hold this sin against them." He prayed for his enemies, just like Job in the Bible, who prayed for his enemies. And after that, God blessed him. We can get an illustration for life Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that use you spitefully, those who abuse you, and those who persecute you. Pray for them. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35, Jesus equates mercy with forgiveness. A man who owes a lot of debt, 10,000 bags of gold to be specific, is forgiven by his master and set free. Yet he, in turn, sends to prison a man who owes him a tiny debt. In comparison, to be specific, 100 coins of silver. So the master calls him in and says, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" So the master handed him over to the tormentors until he repays the debt. Since it is unfortunate that we do not use mercy when dealing with others, even though we know we have also received mercy at one time, Jesus wants us to learn from him and to imitate him by showing unconditional love and mercy to others. Show unconditional love and mercy to others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Sometimes we can be selfishly unkind, wanting grace, mercy, and forgiveness for ourselves when we trespass against God and others. And judgment on those who cross us the wrong way or trespass against us. And even those that sin against God with impunity, we want to be like the disciples, the sons of thunder. We want to call fire from heaven to consume them. And Jesus says, "Examine your heart. For that is not of God, it's of Satan." So in the way you respond to people who you think deserve to be punished, examine the condition of your heart. You may need more mercy than them. So we should be merciful and forgiving to others. Not because they deserve it, but because they don't deserve it. That's why it is called mercy. Another example from Scripture is that of Joseph, who showed mercy and unconditional love and forgiveness to his brothers, who sold him as a slave into Egypt. He was torn away from his family and almost killed by his own brothers. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned for something he did not do. After his father Jacob's death, his brothers were afraid of their lives because of what they had done to Joseph. However, Joseph went out of his way to set their fears to rest. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. The Bible says there, so now, do not be afraid. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. I will provide for you and support you and your little ones. So he comforted them, giving them encouragement and hope, and spoke with kindness to their hearts. Joseph showed mercy and forgave his brothers. He did not repay them for what they deserved, death. Remember, Joseph was now the prime minister of Egypt. He had the power to demand death to his brothers, and that was going to happen. But he chose to forgive them. This is the kind of mercy that we must show in our relationships. Some husbands and wives harbor grudges and hold errors over each other's heads. Parents and children and brothers and sisters are at odds with each other due to irreconcilable differences, pride, and unforgiveness. But it shall not be so among you or among us as believers. We should show mercy, compassion, and forgiveness even to our enemies, because we have been recipients of mercy ourselves. We did not deserve the salvation that we got from God. But through grace and faith in Jesus Christ, we were given salvation, and this is not our own doing, it's the doing of God, and we must not boast. It's a gift from God. Why don't you turn around and give that gift to people who don't deserve to be forgiven because of many reasons that you may have? Remember, you're not God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." What does Jesus mean in saying we shall obtain mercy? As we begin preparation to learn this plane, it means our receiving of mercy from God is contingent upon the mercy we give to others. Have you noticed that it's easy to ask God for forgiveness? But before we ask God for forgiveness, we must ask ourselves, have I forgiven those who have wronged me? Otherwise, God will not forgive us our sins. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Instead of being bitter and angry toward your spouse, children, parents, brothers and sisters, neighbors, or fellow church members, we need to be merciful and forgiving toward them, just as we have received mercy ourselves. In conclusion, I want us to pause there. We have gone through quite a lot of information. I want us to ask ourselves as we examine our hearts, what is the Holy Spirit whispering to my ears, to my heart of hearts? What is God saying? And what do you think God wants you to do about that. In what ways are you failing to forgive others and thus failing to respond correctly to the mercy that we have received from God? Are you being kind-hearted to others? Do you show compassion, sympathy, empathy, and concern for others? Or do you act with vengeance, retribution, retaliation, and vindictiveness? Maybe you act with malice to other people because you have drifted away from the faith and wondering whether God would show you mercy, forgiveness, and compassion again. Be assured that no matter how far from the Lord you have gone, God's everlasting mercy is never too far away. And here is my closing illustration. A man named Robert Robinson had been saved from George Whitefield's ministry in England. Shortly after that, at the age of 23, Robinson wrote the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Streams of Mercy Never Ceasing." Sadly, Robinson wandered far from those streams, and like the prodigal son, journeyed into a life of carnality. One day, he was traveling by horse-drawn carriage, and sitting beside him, a young woman engrossed in a book. She ran across a vase she thought was beautiful and asked him what he thought about it. The verse was, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love." Bursting into tears, Robinson said, "Madam, I am the poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I could enjoy the feelings of joy and peace I had then." Although greatly surprised, she reassured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in his song still flowed. Mr. Robinson was deeply touched, turning his wandering heart to the Lord again. And God restored him to true fellowship with him. Since what God did for Mr. Robinson, he can do for you and me. Because, as another hymn writer says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies will never come to an end because they are new every morning." Come home to Jesus because he loves you and he cares about you. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that has come to our hearts today. Our prayer is that you give us the power and the courage that we need to put this word in practice. May we be loving and caring. May we be compassionate. May we be forgiving, even to those who don't deserve to be forgiven for all their trespasses against us. Give us the heart of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to change in behavior, in our attitudes and actions, to be agents of change, who will go out there and love our neighbor as ourselves, just as much as we love God. Enable us to do whatever we can to help our fellow man, our neighbor, to the glory of God. Help us not to overlook the suffering and the pain that people carry in this world, but may we minister healing to them through the love of Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord raise his countenance upon you, turn his face toward you, and give you his peace. The shalom that endures forever. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we have prayed. And somebody said, Amen.